fascinating, important passage. Can anybody think why it is particularly appropriate for today, at least to my mind? Now, where was, go on, were you going to offer something? No. Where was Levi the tax collector sitting when the Lord Jesus called him? At his tax booth, or tent, we might say. Maybe, I don't know. So I've no idea if it was anything like a marquee, but when I saw a booth, I thought, oh, that's something you can latch onto. So he may have been at some kind of booth or tent or mini marquee or something, who knows. And then, what else? Why else is the passage appropriate for today? Eating, yes. Jesus goes to a great banquet, and no doubt you're going to have an amazing picnic afterwards. So, tax booth, eating, I thought that would do. Now, what I wanted to see from this passage is three things about who Jesus is and why he's come. And I've got an exciting array of props and costumes to help us. I'm going to need three volunteers. So let's have volunteer number one, Matt. Fantastic. Okay, this is good because you are going to wear your own camouflage army jacket. Now, my boys' brigade stuff, I may have sort of possibly weighed a little more than you. I don't really know how to adjust it. Okay, boys' brigade stuff. Here we go. Boys' brigade. Is this called a haversack satchel carry thing? I don't know whether that's for putting your medicine or bullets in or something. And this, your Nerf gun. Now, I hope nobody minds guns in the marquee. This gun has been disarmed and made safe. No bullets are here today, okay? So if Matt shoots you with it, it'll merely be a puff of air. Okay, so who is Matt? We're obviously limited in our military regalia at home. Any ideas? Yes, Abigail. An army person. That's right, he is an army person. In fact, believe it or not, he is a commander-in-chief. A commanding officer, okay? And if you've got three hands, Matty, got something for you to hold up to, can you show them that? Can you all see that? Anyone know who this is? General Kitchener, yes, or Field Marshal Kitchener, Lord Kitchener, that's right. Very famous poster, Britain, your country needs you. He was Secretary of State for War, wasn't he? 1914, this is a recruiting poster where they wanted you to join up in the army and go and serve in the war in Europe, First World War. Okay. Matty is the commander-in-chief. And Jesus in our passage is like a commander-in-chief because he says to Levi, come, follow me. And immediately, Levi leaves everything and follows him. Jesus has the authority to command and call people to follow him. Jesus is like the ultimate teacher or rabbi, the ultimate Yoda or guru or spiritual master or disciple master or leader or commander-in-chief. And you know, he chooses and calls a very strange person in this passage. What was Levi's job? Just remind me. He was a tax collector, yes. Now, nobody likes tax collectors, do they? I mean, some people always say, on question time, they'd like to pay more taxes, but I don't know if you pay your taxes with great pleasure and would love to pay more. But there were some particular reasons why tax collectors were hated in those days. Anybody able to show off and tell me that? Jonathan Austin, yes. Okay, they cooperated with the Romans, and they probably took a lot of extra money for themselves, and they weren't really entitled to. So remember, Israel was occupied by the Roman army, and these people collaborated with the foreign occupying soldiers. They were traitors, if you like, and they probably took more than they needed to. They were crooks and criminals and cheats. So it's amazing that Jesus should command such a person to follow him. Jesus called all sorts of people, and even people who everybody else would say were bad and nobody would be interested in. Jesus is the commander-in-chief. Now, Matthew, if you don't sit down, we may need you. You can say this if you like or whatever. We may need you later if everybody forgets what they've learned from you. So Jesus is the commander-in-chief. One more volunteer, please. Someone who's feeling perhaps a bit groovy or excited or... Let's have someone who's not a member of the Lloyd family, if we possibly can. Olivia, would you like to? You'd be fantastic at this, no? Jasmine, would you like to come?
Fantastic.
it. Come on then. It's entirely at your own risk, and I should probably get your parents to sign a form saying you're willing to stand on here. Please don't fall off again. Fantastic. Now, Jasmine, you are going to be a party host, okay? You like to wear a party hat. Fantastic. And again, I've got far too many things for you to hold. Whoops-a-daisy. Fits over your bun very nicely. Here's some party plates and things. And a party cup. And a party invite. Why don't you put those down and put those on the floor? You can hold that up and show everybody that. Well done. It says, party, you're invited. So we find Jesus going to a great banquet, a party. Yeah, and some people think that Jesus was a boring old misery guts killjoy, but that's not the picture we get of him in the Gospels. He's often talking about eating and drinking and banquets and feasts. He's often at a party, and he seems to be the life and soul of it. Indeed, he says to his disciples, to the people, I'm like a bridegroom at a wedding, because I'm here. It's a time for rejoicing and celebration. And the holier than thou people, they don't like it. They criticise Jesus. They say, why is he eating with those sinners? They've touched that, those horrible, bad people. Why doesn't he just have meals with us posh, holy people? Jesus invites surprising people to come and feast with him. And you know, in the Bible, heaven is pictured as a party too. It's going to be a great wedding banquet in the new creation which Jesus invites us to. So what was number one? Jesus is the... Jesus is a tax collector, what? Jesus the commander-in-chief, well done. Secondly, Jesus is the joyful party host, okay? And he invites us. Thank you very much for your help, Jasmine. You have been exquisitely well-behaved. Would you like to take those with you? And Melinda is kindly going to help you, Dad. Thank you very much. We need just one more person. It's nearly over, nearly time for the picnic. Would a member of the Craven family like to come? Sammy, would you like to come and do some exciting dressing up on the stage? Sophie, no. Olivia, it's not too late. No, people are very grumpy. Well, it might have to do... Tommy, do you want... Abigail's desperate too. Oh, I don't know, it's such a quandary. Well, why don't you dress up later? Abigail, come on. Now, you're going to be Dr. Abigail, so if you could look caring and educated and responsible. That's your special doctor's coat. Might like to do that up a bit. Obviously, you need a stethoscope to be a doctor. Fantastic. And what do we call the looking in thing, John? An otoscope, obviously. So looking in ears, obviously. So there's your otoscope. And you'll probably want to inject a few people. They might need tranquilizing after this very exciting all-age talk. And here is a first aid sign, just in case people don't know that you're a doctor. Okay, so the Lord Jesus Christ calls himself a doctor in this passage, in effect. He says, I have not come for the healthy, but for the sick. I have not come for the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. Now, it will be pretty stupid. Sometimes people go to the doctors for routine checkups, don't they, and tests, and it's very important to do that. So do that if you get summoned to the doctor or whatever. But you wouldn't normally ring up and say, I've got to see the doctor this morning because I'm fighting fit. I'm perfectly well. I bet you any money there's nothing wrong with me. I'd like to see the doctor, please. And if you went in to see the doctor would say, what are you doing here? Don't you know I'm incredibly busy? The NHS is so overstretched. The doctors is for sick people, not for people who are sure they're perfectly healthy. They would say to you in a very nice way, go away. Perhaps you're a bit lucky. It is not healthy people who need the doctor, but the sick. And you know, Jesus says that all of us are spiritually sick in our hearts or souls. We're what the Bible calls sinners. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to heal us and forgive us and make us clean on the inside. In fact, the Bible says that without Jesus, we are spiritually dead. And you can't get much more seriously ill than dead, can you? But thankfully, Jesus is a doctor for the spiritually sick. He's able and willing to make us clean and whole and healthy. That is fantastic news if we're willing to admit our need of Jesus, if we think we're perfectly fine and righteous and healthy without Jesus, Jesus would say to us, well, you might as well go away because I've not come for you. Okay, so, Abby, you can jump down, I think. Do you want to take off your regalia for the sake of playing the cornet? I don't know whether your doctor's coat will impede your playing. No. Carry on then. Fine. So, remind me what we have learned. Jesus is the commander-in-chief. He has the authority to call people to follow him. Will you leave everything and follow Jesus? It's really, really worth it. The best way to live. Jesus is the joyful party host who invites us to come and celebrate with him. And lastly, Jesus is the doctor for people who are willing to admit that they are spiritually sick. Will you put your trust in him? Let's pray. We thank you afresh, our Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is so amazing and who so perfectly meets our need. We thank you for him, that whoever we are and whatever we've done, he calls us to follow him. We thank you that he invites us to the most wonderful party, to heaven and to the new creation, and that he is able to make us clean and whole on the inside. Please help us to follow Jesus, to accept his invitation, to admit our need, and to trust in him for his great name's sake. Amen.